Last Monday was the state opening of Parliament. Her Majesty sat on the Sovereign's throne. The Sovereign's throne as she opened the new session of Parliament. It was the Queen's first major public duty since the death of Prince Philip. The state opening of Parliament. So there she was sitting on the Sovereign's throne. That's what's actually called the Sovereign's throne. Please continue to pray for our Queen. In these days, no doubt, there's still the sorrow, the sadness there. 73 years with the Duke of Edinburgh. And there's pain, the pangs of grief. And she needs our prayers. As the people of God were commanded in 1 Timothy chapter 2 to pray for those in authority, for our leaders, for our rulers. So let's continue to pray for the Queen. But you know, as I thought about the state opening of Parliament, I thought about the Queen, Her Majesty, sitting there. Normally, Prince Philip, her consort, would be beside her, but he obviously wasn't there this time, this year. You know, as I thought about the Sovereign's throne in the House of Lords last Monday, a beautiful throne, a wooden throne made of wood, intricate, ornate, carved wood, inset with rock crystals, red velvet upholstery, designed by a man called Augustus Pugin, or Pugin, made by a man called John Webb, way back in the year 1847. And Her Majesty sat on that throne last Monday. You know, as I thought about that throne, I began to think of a higher throne. A higher throne. We have read about it today. We could have sung about it. There's Keith and Kristen Getty, don't they have their hymn? There is a higher throne. Thank God today there is a higher throne. Believer, as you go through the valley, be encouraged that there's a higher throne. As you go through your hardships, your discouragements, health problems, doctor's appointments, hospital appointments, surgery, as you get bad news over the phone, there's a higher throne. The Lord has a perfect plan for all that's happening in your life right now. There's a reason behind it. Because what's happening in your life is coming from the Sovereign's throne. Not Her Majesty's throne that she sat upon last Monday. No, the highest throne of all, the throne of the universe. That's where the trials come from, you know, for the believer. The cross, the hardships. I know this is not easy for any believer to do, but let me encourage you, child of God, to embrace your trial as from the Lord. I remember a few years hearing that from an old preacher, and it stuck with me, it stayed with me. He said, every trial that comes to a Christian, it comes to your Christian, it comes from the pierced hand of Jesus. By His grace, let us embrace the trials. By the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Pentecost, by His power, let us embrace the trial and say, Lord, I don't understand it. I find it difficult what I'm going through right now. But Lord, I submit to your wisdom. And you know best, and you have a reason in it. And Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So child of God, hold on. That's my message to you today. Hold on. Don't give up. Thank God for the higher throne. Well, let's come to it today. You know, as I read this passage from Revelation during the past week and read around it, I was struck by the three gemstones that are mentioned. Three precious stones that are mentioned there in those verses, Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 tells us about the throne, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. It's good that it's occupied today, this throne that we worship today and every Lord's Day. This throne is occupied. It has always been occupied. It will always be occupied by Jehovah, by the Lord. Nobody's going to knock him off his throne. There's many a big wig in our world would love to knock him off his throne. Tell you folks, there's a lot of men, a lot of women in our world today, and they've got a God complex. That's what I would call it, a God complex. You ever hear of Bill Gates? Founder of Microsoft? Bill Gates wants to save the world. He has a great plan to spray chalk particles, dust particles up into the stratosphere to block out the rays of the sun to cool the planet. Boy, that's a God complex, isn't it? I reckon Mr. Gates would love to be on the throne of the universe. He wants to dim the sun, block out the sun, because as far as he's concerned, the climate is out of control. He's got to save the world. Well, the reality is that the climate is not out of control. The reality is that Mr. Gates doesn't need to save the world, because the Lord is in control of this world. He's the one on the throne. He's the one who's in control of the climate. And we were sharing with the children in the Bible class today, telling the young people about Noah's Ark and the flood that destroyed it back in the book of Genesis. But then we were reminding them that there's coming a day when God's going to destroy this world again, not by a flood this time, but by a fire. By a fire. The fire will deal with all the debauchery in this world. And I tell you, there's a lot of debauchery. But God has the fire for it. But don't be disheartened, because he's going to make a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He doesn't need any help from Bill Gates or any other megalomaniac. No, he's on the throne. And no one will knock him off that throne. Hallelujah. One sat on the throne. No vacancies, folks. No vacancies when it comes to the throne of the universe. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, and he's the man, Christ Jesus. We've got to remember, when it comes to the book of Revelation, that many of the first readers of this book would have been converted Jews. Now think about the three gemstones that are mentioned here in verse 3. You've got jasper, you've got sardine, and then you've got emerald. Three gemstones, precious stones. Obviously, right away, they speak of preciousness. Our God is precious, the one who's on the throne today. He's precious to us. Jesus is precious to us, isn't he? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Precious to us because he's our only hope for eternity. In his blood is our only hope. Tell me this, are you depending on the blood today? Wouldn't like to be in your shoes if you're not. Aye, the one on the throne of the universe today, he's precious. But think about the stones and the Jewish aspect to it, the Old Testament context. We've got the high priest's breastplate engraved with the names of the tribes of Israel. And you've got these 12 stones that are connected to the 12 tribes according to the births of the 12 sons of Jacob. And so let's think about jasper. The jasper, let's try to learn a lesson by the help of the Holy Spirit from this precious stone today. The jasper represents Benjamin. This is the stone of Benjamin in the high priest's breastplate. Jasper was a beautiful stone like a diamond, clear as crystal, clear as crystal. Does that not speak about the purity of our Lord? The glory of our Lord, His holiness, spotless purity, clear as crystal. Reminds us that the Father is perfect. Reminds us that the Holy Spirit is perfect. It reminds us that our Savior is perfect. He's without sin. He's spotless. Those of you who are lamenting your own sinfulness today, look away to the one who's perfect, the one who's like the jasper. Jesus, the jasper. Did not Pilate's wife send that urgent message to him as he was passing judgment on the Savior? What did she say? Have thou nothing to do with that just man? He's innocent, Pilate. Don't condemn him. He's perfect. He's never sinned in thought, word, or deed. Pilate, beware lest you condemn someone who's completely innocent. And Jesus is innocent in the purest form of the word. He's without spot and without blemish. He's the jasper. Of course, Benjamin means son of my right hand, doesn't it? Son of my right hand. There's a son at God's right hand today. You see the throne in Revelation 4. Aye, there's someone at the right hand of it today. Our great high priest. Aaron was the high priest of old in Exodus. Some people think, Aaron must have been a very holy chap, a very spiritual individual. Well, no, actually, whenever God told Moses that Aaron was going to be the high priest of Israel, you know what he was doing? He was falling down before a golden calf. And there was you thinking that God couldn't use you. He has a work for you. There's a work for every one of us. And the Lord took Aaron and he cleansed him, and he can take you and he can cleanse you. He can fill you with his spirit and he can use you. Thank God today for someone far greater than Aaron. A greater than Aaron at God's right hand, the Lord Jesus. Those of us who are saved, he's praying for us. You having a tough time at the minute? He's praying for you. Now, your pastor mightn't always remember to pray for you, or your family member mightn't always remember to pray for you, or somebody else in the church mightn't remember to pray for you. But he'll remember to pray for you. He won't forget you because you're on his prayer list. I'm glad to be on his prayer list. The sardine stone. A blood red stone, a blood red stone. You see that throne in glory today speaks to us of the blood of the Lamb who was slain. That throne today would terrify the life out of us. We'd be petrified today of that throne if it wasn't for the sardine, for this blood red aspect. This blood red, ruby red, glorious radiance coming from the throne, speaking of the atoning precious blood of Christ. takes the fear out of the throne, takes the terror out of the tomb. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the blood. This sardine stone, or sardius as it's called in the Old Testament, it was the stone of Reuben. This was Reuben's stone. You know what Reuben means? Behold a son. Behold a son. Now, could it be there's some of you in the service today, and I've preached to you for years, you haven't beheld the Son yet? You haven't looked to Him by faith? He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Just look. What it means is just trust, just depend on Him. Old Spurgeon used to talk about throwing overboard the lumber of self-righteousness. Throw the cargo of your self-righteousness overboard and flee to Christ and to the Lamb, to the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. Flee to that fountain filled with blood today. Some of you need to do it. Don't leave it until next week, because it could be too late. You know, think that the Lord's on His way with what's happening in the Middle East at the present time. He's got to be at the door, knocking at the door. Remember in Revelation 3, the previous chapter, behold, I stand at the door. I think the Lord's at the door of this planet, about to return. Tell me, are you ready? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Isabella's favorite song. This last while, she's been going around the house singing it, deep and wide, deep and wide. Plenty of room in that fountain for you. Room for everybody, isn't there? It's deep and it's wide. The emerald. Let's finish the emerald. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. This is the stone of Judah, the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. Don't you love to praise Him? I mean, those of us who are saved by His grace, we love to praise Him. We love to sing His praises. When we consider how sinful and evil we are, how depraved we are, and yet when we consider how beautiful and lovely Jesus is and what He has done for us, shedding His blood, dying for us in ignominy and shame, rising from the dead, going back to heaven, praying for us, all that He has done for us, how can we but praise Him? There'd be something wrong if we didn't. Eternity will be too short to sing His praise. But I want to tell you folks, over the last year or so, there's a lot of churches haven't been praising Him. A lot of people, a lot of believers haven't been praising Him. I heard of a church, heard of a pastor. He stood up and he said, now we're going to read from Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. I sing aloud. You know what he said then? Now let's sit down, let's take our seats and sing quietly. How sad. Isn't it sad that fear has produced such irrational behavior in the worship services in our wee country? COVID robbery, that's what I call it. Praise has been robbed from the Lord. Praise has been stolen from the Lord. And let me say this as I finish, the devil loves to do it. There's nothing that makes him happier than to see praise and glory being stolen from the Lord. He loves to see the Lord being robbed of his glory and the honor that he deserves and he's worthy of. Makes Satan so happy. You see, is that not what John 10 tells us? The thief cometh not but for to steal. Do not think that the thief has been to a lot of places of worship in recent times to steal praise from the Lord. To steal the emerald from the throne. Are you praising him today? Can you praise him from your heart? Are you right with him? Are you under the blood? If you're not, then you cannot praise him. How could you praise him? Because you're not headed for heaven, you're headed for hell. But that's where the gospel comes in. That's where the blood of the Lamb comes in. That's where a risen Savior comes in. He is power to save. And we emphasized that in the open air on Friday. Brother Kenny, it's one of the things I remember from Friday in Guildhall Square. He emphasized that Christ is alive. And because he's living, he has power to save and he has power to heal. Power to heal the body, power to heal the soul. This is the one that we worship today, folks. What an awesome God he is.